Yeah. I'm excited.
Yes, I'm looking forward to talking with you. And seeing what the word says, I wish I had my other, my wife has my cell phone where I can pull my scripture, but anyway, I'll do that from the laptop, I mean from the desktop too, so
okay.
I'll just put it out if I need a scripture or something. So yeah, we were responding to a post that you had posted, and as you were scrolling, I'm assuming as you were scrolling through Facebook, you saw a post that I posted.
Yeah.
And you were amazed because you had just mentioned, you were making a comment to me, or you mentioned me in the post, and it was just aligned with, you know, what we were dealing with. Neither one of us had saw each other's post at the time. So
that's correct.
It went from that to us making comments back and forth, and us realizing, you know what? We need to do a Facebook Live.
That's right.
Here we are. So for those that are listening, Rachel Dennis, thank you for joining. For all those that are on the sound of my voice, people are still joining. Thank you all for joining. Be sure to share. I'm just gonna let you jump in.
Man,
tell me what's on your heart, and we're just gonna go back and forth.
So I was trying to find the post.
Okay.
I was trying to find the post, but the comment about the church being a hospital. So here we are in this space, right? We're in this space where at the time that you and I was talking, we didn't have everything we had as of today. There was not a federal national emergency declared. I live in the state of Alabama. We just got our state of emergency probably about 2 hours ago. At the same time, we got notified. We had about 5 confirmed cases. We didn't know all of that. But what we did know is that there were so many people that were running around acting like they lost their heaven-loving minds. And what was bugging me was the fact that so many of them was our colleagues, clergy, religious leaders, pastors, apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, oh my, right? So, and what I was getting at was, this is not the time to be leading people astray as a religious leader. And the people will listen to us because of our titles. Some will listen to us because of our anointing. Some of them will listen to us because who we connected to.
Right.
And when that happens, whatever comes out of our mouth is dangerous. It has the potential to be dangerous and blow up. And I'm going to try to find the post that you and I were talking about. But that's where I was. That's where I was, and that's where I still am. I think I'm going to come down a little bit off of where I was because people are starting to get it now. People are really starting to understand this thing is serious. And my thing is, we know that God is in charge. Some of us know. Some of us know. I know. God is in charge. I also know that God allows things to happen. And sometimes when things happen, when God allows things to happen, the truth of the matter is not everybody is able to see that.
Right.
I think back in the Genesis chapter 6, they saw Noah building something, but they didn't ever think in their minds, I don't believe. Scripture don't say it, but I just don't believe that they believe. Over that 40-year period, that was something that they was going to get on, and that was something that they needed to be on. I think they just wanted to continue living their lives, doing all that reckless behavior, and that's where I see us at right now. I think a lot of this is just judgment right now.
I agree.
I think, but that's my opening thoughts, if you will, just really trying to wrap our heads around this and us coming together as religious leaders to really focus on what we need to be doing right now, because it's really about to get kind of bad. I don't care how much faith you have, the situation is really about to get kind of bad.
Yeah.
So, and I want people to understand that.
I've been going back through my Facebook page, and because I've had dreams and prophecies that I've been releasing, you know, over the years. And I just posted this one. Let me see. October the 2nd. Now, listen to this, because this one reminds me of the post that I posted yesterday that was talking about the urgency.
Okay.
So I put this, and I reshared it tonight about probably 30 minutes before we're joining in together. But this is from October the 2nd, 2019.
Mm.
It's also some things in a vision that are going to come upon us suddenly. Here in the U.S., people had known, would have allowed all these intentional distractions, all forms of entertainment, politically as well, and that's something, distracting them from the Word of God. And then I put Jesus.
Wow.
I don't know how soon, but the U.S. is about to go through. And I put, these are the days of Elijah.
Mm.
So, you know, God has his people that's warning. You know, giving out warnings, and I hate to say this, and I try to be very careful to leave myself out because it's not about me. You know, it's about God's word. But when you don't have a lot of things to overlook you, and I'm thinking about like John the Baptist.
Okay.
So we know that John the Baptist, he could have wore his father was a high priest. He could have been in the temple. He could have had the accolades. He could have worn the vestures and then, you know, trained, you know,
right.
In that sense. But he looked like a wild man.
Mm.
You know, trying to tell people about, you know, the coming of Jesus Christ. And I've been warning people and telling people. But, you know, sometimes the environment isn't right.
Okay.
And I tell people, you don't have to teach water to trees. If you put it in the right environment, it's for free. And I believe that we're finally coming into the environment. So what do you think about that?
Man. I believe that we've been in this environment since November 2016.
Gotcha.
I don't know if you caught the video that I did yesterday, and I can't remember a lot of the things that I said, but one of the things was the Lord gave me Jeremiah 29.
Okay.
And he gave me this the Wednesday after the election in November 2016. And I say this up front unapologetically, what I'm about to say has nothing to do with who you voted for or who you didn't vote for. It has everything to do with what God allowed to happen, right?
Yeah.
And so the title of this message, I had to preach at a church, which I'm a member of now, but I had to preach at a church, 2016. And the title of the message that the Lord gave me was, "We're going to be here for a while."
Gotcha.
And I've been, it's ironic that I was talking to my daughter the other day, and my daughter remembered me talking about that. I was talking to her mom the other day, and her mom remembered that. And not only that, her mom said to our daughter, she says, William McDowell, do you remember that message with William McDowell? Saying the same exact thing or using the same scriptures. And for those who don't know it, we know that Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans are good, not for evil, to give you hope and expect of them." So many people want that piece. They want the good stuff that God's going to do.
Yeah.
But what God revealed back then in 2016 was there's a couple things that we just have to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in those first seven verses. Real simple. Build homes, plan to stay for a while. Plant gardens, plant your food, eat from the food that you plant.
Yeah.
Marry to have relationships with each other. Don't dwindle away. And then a fourth thing, everybody was all amens up to that point. And the fourth thing was pray for the peace and prosperity of the place in which I led you. God led them into captivity. For those who don't know, it's a captivity scripture. God led them into captivity. And so since he led them in captivity, all he said was, listen, I just need y'all to focus on getting some things in place because you're coming out of this.
Yeah.
Okay, been listening. So the answer that I'm seeing is we're exactly where we're supposed to be. How many doggone warnings does God need to give before his people realize that I'm in doggone charge, not you? Dr. Dunlap, I'm the one who gave you the ability to become a doctor. Don't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted. You are who I allow you to be. And without having that type of realization, man, folks have become lovers of themselves, lovers of money, lovers of, you talk about entertainment a lot, and I'm sitting here like, listen, I've been focusing on getting some stuff together, but I've never stopped trying to get other folks to put some stuff in place.
Right.
It don't even make sense, brother. If you're going to be in captivity for 70 years, it makes no sense for you to build a house in your place of captivity.
Yep.
If you're thinking with a carnal mind.
Right.
If you're going to be obedient and follow what the Lord say, you know what, let me get to putting down some bricks. This is where we at right now. In the United States of America, we're dealing with this COVID-19. But yet, China is so far ahead of us. These cats built a hospital in a week. We got over 100 million folks here.
Yeah.
We're supposed to have the best and the brightest. You tell me we couldn't have built some stuff?
Come on.
But it's become a political thing. It ain't by coincidence. And I strongly believe that because we have not done some things collectively as the body, not talking about your church, not talking about my church, as the body, as big C, not little C, we have not done some things. And God's like, all right, I've been giving you some warnings. I've been giving you some warnings. So
One of the greatest, I'll say, what's what I'm looking for? One of the greatest enemies against any people is ego.
Okay.
And the more time goes by, I feel like America just felt that we're untouchable. And overnight?
Yeah.
Oh, it's like overnight, you know, it's like, the U.S. is being turned upside down, and I do believe, like you said, that there's something more to this than what we know right now, other than people that are spiritual. But one thing I do know about you is how God uses you in the area of finance. That was something that you shared with me. And I don't think that we, as the people of God as a whole, and I'm going to share this and then I'm going to digress again. I got my camera on you, so I'm trying to get it. It's tricky because it's a kind of camera that sits on your come on, camera, I had you good at first. But, Isaiah said he saw the Lord highly lifted up in his training temple. And as I did a study on that, and you'll probably know about this, but the train, the length of the train denoted the wealth of the king. So the king's train was about 5 feet long. That's how wealthy he was. And then another king may have a train that's 7 feet, 8 feet, 9 feet, 12 feet.
Okay.
But that denoted their wealth. Isaiah saw the Lord high lifted up, and his train filled the temple. In other words, his wealth could not be measured.
Wow.
Isn't that something? Now, check this out. Out of all, and it may seem like we're off topic, but I'm talking about COVID.
Okay.
Out of all of the things that God could have showed Isaiah concerning himself, the first thing he showed Isaiah was how wealthy.
Wow.
Isn't that something? Sometimes we have to ask ourselves the question, why would God take out the time to show Isaiah how wealthy?
Okay.
And even before that, check this out. Isaiah didn't get a revelation of God's wealth until after the king was. He had to change what he was looking at because, of course, you know, the king was his provision.
Right.
So there are certain things that's just going to have to be moved out of the way. I can go back into the rest of it in a little bit, but I believe that situations like this, it's not just COVID, but I believe that that this is the grounds that we need for us to start going back and really reassessing what's important.
Amen. Amen.
You know, I've shared this before, but a ship carries very important goods. It says $1 million worth of merchandise on this ship.
Okay.
And we know it imports and the ship exports. And this is very, very important because if a storm comes, that ship has to count up the cost. You know what I'm saying?
Come on.
And it has to cast its care. You know how the Bible description to cast your carriers on him before because he cares for you?
Mm-hmm.
What we call a burden on a ship is actually merchandise. It's goods. That burden on the ship. So first of all, our perspective is off because what I've been hearing people say burden is? Their children. All my children is a burden.
That's great.
You know, the upkeep of my home is a burden. You see?
Okay.
My spouse, my marriage is a burden. And what people aren't understanding is the burden is actually the value on the ship. And when a storm hits, they have to cast those cares, those burdens off the ship, so the ship won't capsize.
Gotcha.
The reason why we need storms to hit the ship is because when the ship is importing and exporting, when the storm hits, now we can reassess and find out what's important.
Come on now.
And this help us to start going back to our ships, fellowship, relationship, stewardship.
Okay.
Our ship, whatever those ships are, it makes us go back when storms like this come, reassess, and begin to realize what's really important. Family, relationships. Getting that bitterness out your heart. You know, I got faith to move mountains, but you stand for forgiving your brother. Over 2 years ago. So that's what I see happening. I see people sobering. What say he?
Well, I think this is a good segue to just go to the juggler. So we talked about you and I, we had the dialogue or the conversation going back and forth about the church being a hospital. So I think this is a good way to talk about that. Whenever you go to a hospital, and this is really vital because of the situation that we're in as a country, as a world, but as the world, you go to the hospital, and somebody is there to greet you to be able to say, what are you here for?
Right.
and then you tell that person what's going on with you. Stomach ache, I got the flu, whatever the case is. And then you got to sit down and you got to wait. After you sit down and wait, then they bring somebody else into the picture. You go back and they do what's called a triage. The triage is where they take your blood pressure. They weigh you. They ask you a couple more questions. And then they make you sit and they wait again. And then after a while, you're going to get somebody that's going to come in, whether it's a PA, physician assistant, or an actual doctor. And then they're going to deal with you. And then they may actually send you across the hall or down the hall or to another floor to get an x-ray. I say all that to say, even when you get your x-rays, normally it's not the same doctor that reveals what's going on with your x-rays. It's somebody who's went to school and who has been trained in radiology. This is a radiologist, not a general physician. And then you come back to your general physician, and that person's going to say, well, this is what we're going to do, and then they have the authority to prescribe medication. They have the authority to say, this is what I need you to do. If you done got tested and you have been tested and come up positive for the COVID-19, ain't no radiologist going to give you no doggone prescription and no order. It's going to be the regular old doctor that's going to say, I need you to go home for 14 days or whatever.
Yeah.
I say all that to say, because if we're talking about the church being a hospital, we got to even just evaluate what does a hospital look like. And from the illustration I just gave, a hospital has a whole bunch of folks that have been charged with making sure anybody who comes into that door get the necessary care that they need. So here's where we may lose some folks. We're gonna say church is a hospital.
Come on.
How in the world are you the only one there as a leader? You ain't got nobody else with no authority. You ain't gained no authority to nobody else. Nobody else got no power, and you the only bubble on the water. As they say it down in the South, the only rooster in the hen house. I may be saying it wrong, but most folks know what I'm talking about if they're down South.
Yeah.
So you can't be the person at the front desk as a leader. You can't be the person doing the triage.
Yeah.
You can't be the doggone person running the x-ray machine. You sure as heck ain't qualified, ain't got no type of training to read the doggone x-rays. And then give an overall assessment of what's going on. You can't do that as a religious leader for everybody that's under your care. So my question is, somebody said they can't hear anything. Can you see that, Jaquetta? Jaquetta, you can't hear me? It says the video, somebody said a comment, the video says it has no sound. Let's see what.
Not on my end. Because I can hear you good.
You hear me good?
Yes. From what source is she?
She's on. Oh, hold on. Let me see. Yeah, she's on my live.
Okay.
So I'm not sure. So just keep on putting some comments down there. We'll see what we can do if it's gonna work. So I say all that to say that if the church is a hospital, then that means the church has to have all of the necessary tools that it needs to operate as a hospital. If you don't have the necessary tools, then how in the world are you going to help come through your doors? That's not going to make too many folk happy. Because there's too many leaders that are trying to do so much. Come on,
right.
Moses, right?
Yep.
What I call the pre-Jethro Moses. There's so many people that are trying to do so much by themselves, may not trust other folks. And at the end of the day, when I see that, this is why I stay so busy.
I got you.
Because of what I do, Pastor X, Y, and Z, ain't no way in the world they can do it. They're not equipped to do it. They don't have the anointing to do it. May not have the time to do it. And so here's what I say. Listen, if you're the radiologist, be the radiologist. Yeah, I got some folks on my end. Go ahead, brother. You keep go ahead and jump in, and I'm going to see if I can try to get the sound going on my end for whatever reason.
Yeah, because I'm not hearing you. I'm on your page now.
Hmm.
Let me see what's happening on my end. So far, I had you decide to, but that they can't hear. And I have my sound turned up. That's going to be something if we've been talking all